بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم و صلی الله علی سیدنا محمد و آله الطاهرین. خطبه نمبر 23 و تشتمل علی تهذیب الفقراء بالزهد و تأدیب الاغنیاء بالشفقه. And this خطبه includes encouraging the poor to be content with what they have, and also advising the rich to be kind and caring for the poor and for other people. Now, of course, this khutbah includes lots of concepts that we can elaborate on, and some of those concepts, of course, I will go into some details about them. For example, at the beginning of the khutbah, there is the concept that the sustenance of every person is measured by God, and it is something that He defines and He would provide. Then there is an advice that those who have less shouldn't be jealous towards those who have more. And then there is an advice to patience and many other things that we will come across when we go on by the khutbah. So we start with the khutbah number 23. Amma ba'du fa inna al-amra yanzilu min as-sama' ila al-ard ka qatarat al-matar إلى كل نفس بما قسم لها من زيادة أو نقصان. The order comes down from the heavens to the earth. Well, Amr here means the order of God, the decree that God makes about what should happen for every person. And this is a very inclusive order and command, which penetrates to the smallest parts of this creation. It comes when the order of God comes. You should not think that is something general, generally covering everything. No, it goes like drops of rain. For every being in this world, that decree would come and attach to it, just like the rain attaches to single particles, small particles. كقطرات المطر. It's like drops of rain. It comes, of course, it's a very beautiful metaphor. When the decree of God comes, it's like rain coming down from the sky, and of course everyone will be showered by that rain, and for every person there is one drop that hits him or hits her, and that is the decree of God about them. So فَإِنَّ الْأَمْرَ يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَقَطَرَاتِ الْمَطَرِ إِلَى كُلِّ نَفْسٍ. It goes to every individual, and it would rule about بِمَا قُسِمَ لَهُ لَهَا مِنْ زِيَادَةٍ أَوْ نُقْصَانٍ. It rules about whatever has been distributed to them by the decree of God to that soul, to that nafs, بِمَا قُسِمَ لَهَا, whether in abundance or paucity, scarcity, who should have less, who should have more. Now, what is mentioned here is that, of course, you see many things happening in this world and you think that these are accidental, or you think that these are the will of people that bring these things about. Now, of course, we can look at the events of this world from two different perspectives, or at two different levels. At one level, of course, which is the level of human beings, yes, everything is achieved when we try for them. Things will come about by different decisions of people, groups, politicians, and these things. But at a higher level, you shouldn't think that this is something that Allah has no say about it. It is something which he has already decreed. And he has decreed that this would happen with our free will, of course. Now, especially about rizq and sustenance. We have many verses in the Quran that is only in his hand, it's not in your hands. You might try, but you don't get more than what he has approved for you or he has decreed for you. The amr comes from the heavens, and this is mentioned, of course, in many verses of the Quran. يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ Or in another verse, we have يُنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ Sorry, that's another verse which is a bit different. يُنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ He makes these decrees coming from his side to the earth, to the people. And then, of course, when everything happens, he collects everything to him. ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ On the day of judgment, it will go up to him. About rizq, we have in the Quran, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ In Surah Dhariyat, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْتِقُونَ Your rizq is in the heavens, it's not on the earth. It's not something that you try for it so much. It is in the heavens. It is what Allah decrees and it comes to you. And he, of course, I think we have more than 10 verses in the Quran saying the same thing. Allahu yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir. He would give abundance to anyone he wishes and he would give tightness of rizq to whoever he wishes. It's in his hand. The story of Qarun, you remember? Inna Qaruna kana min qawm Musa. Qarun, of course, was a cousin of Musa alayhi salam. He was from Banu Israel. He was not from Fir'aun family. He was from Banu Israel. Inna Qaruna kana min qawm Musa fabagha alayhim. Then he transgressed and oppressed them. And he became very rich. Very, very rich. Wa ataynahu min al kunuzi. مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِ الْقُوَّةِ We gave him so much wealth that of course he kept those wealth in his treasury house or whatever and there were keys for those treasures. And the keys could not be carried by a group of strong men. مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِ الْقُوَّةِ Then, of course, Musa told him, Allah has given you all this wealth. Allah has given you this ni'mah. So, you spend it on your people. You do what is appropriate to do with such a wealth. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَحْ First of all, don't be very, very overjoyous about what God has given you. Because Allah doesn't like the overjoyous people. لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفرحين وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة Seek دار الآخرة with what Allah has given you and do not forget your share of this world your share of this world is to buy something for yourself in آخرة ولا تنسى نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن Now what he replied was that this is what I have gathered with my knowledge. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ And Allah says, doesn't he know that other people who said the same thing were destroyed? It is only in our hand who want to give or we may want to just withhold. And many, many verses in the Quran we have in the same effect. On many different occasions Allah mentions this. Now, you might ask, if this is the case, why should we try at all? To get our rizq. Now, the rizq is decreed by him, and there are two different types of rizq, which is predestined for everyone. It is in his hand. Rizq is only in Allah's hand. Two different types of rizq, predestined for every individual. One rizq that would come to you, you want it or you don't want it. It will come to you. الرزق رزقان As Amir al-Mumin said, there are two types of rizq. One type of rizq that seeks you. You run away from it, it comes to you. You cannot run away from that risk. You don't want to be wealthy, but it comes to you, a wealth that Allah has already destined for you, predestined for you. So, رَزْقٌ يَطْلُبُكُ وَرَزْقٌ تَطْلُبُهُ. And there is one rizq which is predestined for you, but you have to work for it. If you don't work for it, you don't get it. It's a conditional rizq. And this is usually the type of rizq that makes people to be active, to work in this world, to try. Because if they don't try, they don't get that rizq. However, we as mu'minun, as Muslims, we have to have in mind, as those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to believe that if Allah has not decreed, has not destined anything, something for us, it is impossible for us to get it. And if He has destined something for us, without condition, we are definitely going to receive it. What a relief, isn't it? Of course, when we say we have to try for it, I don't mean we have to kill ourselves for it. That conditional risk. We have to try whatever is in our ability, not of course putting more time than is necessary, a time that would preoccupy us with those efforts so that we do not have time for prayers, we do not have time for learning knowledge, we do not have time for recitation of the Quran. No, just a reasonable effort that we put in. And then we have to receive our rizq, which is even conditionally destined for us. Now, there is a very famous and beautiful hadith from the Prophet, peace be on him. He said, إِنَّ رُوحَ الْقُدُسِ نَفَسَ فِي رُوعِ. Ruh al-Qudus. نَفَسَ فِي رُوعِ means it blew this knowledge in my soul. It means it came from Ruh al-Qudus to my soul, this knowledge, directly. إِنَّ رُوحَ الْقُدُسِ نَفَسَ فِي رُوعِ لَن تَمُوتَ نَفْسٌ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهُ. No soul would die before they completely receive what is destined for them. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. So, beware of God. Don't transgress for getting something. You don't need to do that. Don't disobey God to get something. You don't need to do that. Because sometimes we get things by disobedience, which is already destined for us to get it with obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why should we do that? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَجْمَلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. Do not put extraordinary efforts. Limit your efforts so that you have time for God, you have time for other activities, and your rest will come to you. And therefore, what Amirul Mu'mineen mentions here is that the command of rizq comes from the heavens. It is destined there for you. And it comes like drops of rain, and it will hit you. And when it comes to you, you don't know what's in that command. Poverty or wealth, you don't know. But what you have to do, or what the type of attitude that you have to have as a slave of God, as someone created by God, you should be content with what is in that drop of command for you. And this is the important thing. Why God has decreed that some people should have more, some people should have less, we don't know. Some societies should be more in comfort and some societies should be in less comfort. We don't know. But we have to trust in Him and His wisdom and why these things happen to people. Sometimes things are completely out of our hand. What is the rizq of each of us in length of our lives? Of course, you might say, okay, I try my best to get wealth, to get money, to get a good education for my children, but you cannot try to get a longer life, isn't it? Of course, you can say, okay, there are advices from knowledgeable people. I don't smoke. I do go for sport. I exercise, and these things. But these are going to have very limited effect if the length of your life is already predestined by Him. You might have been given 20 years, 30 years. This is your risk. 50 years, 100 years, and if you are very unlucky, more than 100 years, because that is not something that we really have to seek. It's more than enough for us. Now, the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He knows best, He knows better. Why I'm in this situation, He knows. And if we see other people have more than what we have, what Amirul Mu'mineen mentions here, is do not think that they are luckier than you, that they are better off. We don't know what is really the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every individual, or what is His blessing. His blessing sometimes is in poverty, as it has been for all His prophets. Isn't it? Amirul Mu'mineen mentions that you cannot find anyone in more hardship. You could not find anyone in more hardship at times in Mecca and in Medina than the Prophet, peace be on him. And he sometimes 3 consecutive days he went with utter hunger. And he says, so the world was taken away from him. Now, why did God do this to His Prophet? Because it was a blessing for the Prophet. And then Amirul Mu'mineen says, look how Allah has taken the world from His Prophets. And it means that He, you know, in effect, He wants to tell us that this is something that I despise. I don't give this to my Prophets. So I despise it. And then Amirul Mu'mineen says, if it was not but for us thinking high of something that Allah has despised, and despising something that Allah has exalted and has commended, like taking, going away from this world, even the poverty of the Prophet Allah has commended, it is enough for disbelief, for kufr, isn't it? Because Allah tells us something, we say, no, you don't understand. We understand better. Now, Amirul Mu'mineen says, if this is the case, if the rizq comes from him, and if this is what he has destined, فَإِنْ رَأَى أَحَدُكُمْ لِأَحْخِيهِ غَفِيرَةً فِي أَهْلٍ أَوْ مَالٍ أَوْ نَفْسٍ فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ لَهُ فِتْنَةً. So, if one of you see for their brothers, or in their brothers, abundance, someone is very rich, very good children, very good health, fi ahlin, aw malin, aw nafsin, good health, good life, rich, good children, this shouldn't be a trial for you. Be careful. You cannot do anything about this, could you? This is what God has given. This is the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you might say, I am the enemy of ni'mah of Allah. Isn't it? Because if you think that Allah has given ni'mah to someone and you feel uncomfortable about it, it means that you are the enemy of ni'mah. In fact, there is a hadith from the Prophet, peace be on him, reported by Ibn Mas'ud, which says, Ala la tu'adu ni'amillah. Do not fight the ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qila ya Rasulullah, man alladhi yu'adi ni'amillah? He was asked, ya Rasulullah, who would fight against the ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Qala alladhina yahsuduna an-nas. Those who feel jealous of people having things. Because when you feel jealous about someone, you actually feel that he shouldn't have that. And if you feel he shouldn't have that, you are against the ni'mah of Allah coming to someone. So you are fighting against the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you see this, be careful. Beware that this should not be a trial for you. A fitna, putting you in this might put you in torment if you are not careful about it. Now, then Amirul Mu'minin says, of course, this hasad is something about which you have heard a lot, and we have lots of traditions. Just before I go on about what Amirul Mu'minin mentions about the success of a person, he says success of a person is not to be rich or to have wealth or whatever. It is in something else, and he explains it. But about hasad, he says in some other place, and this is very interesting, a very, very wise word from Amirul Mu'mineen. لِلَّهِ دَرُّ الْحَسَدِ. May God reward jealousy. Now, why God should reward jealousy? May God reward jealousy. مَا أَعْدَلَ. How just it is. Jealousy is very just. The first person that it kills is the jealous person, isn't it? Because you cannot do anything about God gives to others. You only kill yourself. You only harm yourself. And therefore he says, لِلَّهِ دَرُّ الْحَسَدِ مَا أَعْدَلَهُ بَدَعَ بِصَاحِبِهِ فَقَتَلَهُ. May God reward jealousy, because it's a very just thing. It starts with a person with jealousy and kills him. Now there is a beautiful word from Aristotle. This is, of course, this is quoted in Ibn Abi al-Hadith when he discusses this khutbah. He says that Aristotle says that he was asked, why do we see jealous people are always more grieved than people who are in discomfort, or people who are really in grievance? They have more comfort than a jealous person. And that jealous person might be even better off than others, but the jealous person is in more grief. He said, so, why, he was asked, why the jealous are more grieved than the distressed? And he said, because the jealous has his share of grievance from this world, as other people have. Of course, everyone has a share of grievance in this world. And he adds to it the grievance he feels from happiness of others. And happiness of others are many, of course. And if you want to feel sad about all those happiness, then you have added all those grievances to your own share of the grievance of this world. And a very good example given by Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, Al-Hasidu mudhirrun bi nafsihi qabla an yudhirru bil mahsud. The jealous would harm himself before harming the one about whom he feels jealous. Like Iblis. What did Iblis do? Iblis felt jealous about Adam. كَإِبْلِيس أَوْرَثَ بِحَسَدِهِ لِنَفْسِهِ اللَّعْنَ. What he did, by feeling jealous about Adam, he produced that la'na of Allah for himself. But what happened to Adam? وَأَوْرَثَ لِآدَمَ الْإِجْتِبَاءَ. Well, of course, Adam slipped. But what happened? Allah says, فَاجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ. God chose him. While he was in paradise, he didn't have that status. Of course, he was in comfort. He didn't have that status of being chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اجتباء. The verse says, it talks about اجتباء. ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah accepted his repentance and he chose him. And this concept of being chosen was not something that Adam could have in that paradise. So what Iblis did with his hasad, he harmed himself, he benefited Adam alayhi salam. Now, A good hadith from Imam Sadiq about the signs of a jealous person. Sometimes, of course, we envy people what we do. We are not jealous. Envy means that you like to have a ni'mah that others have. But don't feel distressed when they have it. It doesn't at all give you a bad feeling that other people have things. On the contrary, you are happy that they have it. However, you feel or you say, God, I wish that I had that as well. This is not bad in some occasions, not in all occasions, or even in all occasions it's bad, but in some occasions I will mention is good. But jealousy is when you are grieved by the ni'mah and happiness of others. This is of course bad. Now, of course, all of us feel sometimes that we would like to have a ni'mah that we see with other people. But are we jealous or do we just envy them in a good sense, not in a bad sense? Now, what are the signs of a jealous people? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ Luqman said to his son, ثَلَاثُ لِلْحَاسِدْ ثَلَاثُ عَلَامَاتٍ A jealous person has three signs that would indicate that he's really jealous. يَغْتَابُ إِذَا غَابُ When he is not at the presence of that person for whom they feel jealous, they backbite them. They start to say bad things about them. Well, because of course they are grieved by their ni'mah. So they start to say bad things of them. But since they are people of ni'mah, when they are in their presence, they flatter them. وَيَتَمَلَّقُ إِذَا شَهِدُ وَيُشْمِتُ بِالْمُصِيبَةِ And if any misfortune comes to them, they rejoice. They rejoice of the misfortune of those people who are happy, of those people who have ni'mah. So three signs. One is, they rejoice at misfortune. Second is, they flatter when they are at the presence of that person. And third is, they do ghibah when they are not present. And it's of course logical, we understand that these are the signs of a person who wouldn't like a ni'mah with someone else. Now, if these signs are not there, and we feel that we want the ni'mah with other people, then this is not jealousy of course. This is اختباط. اختباط is good in some aspects or for some ni'mahs and not good for other things. I mean, when you see a rich person, never feel that you would like to be like them because you don't know. Maybe that's not good for you. When you see someone with a ni'mah which is very worldly, the ni'mah of this world, of course, is something that we usually shouldn't feel jealous about it because it's going to end. Now, the Prophet said, if you want to have envy, اغتباط, not hasad. Hasad is always bad. اغتباط, it means that you want that ni'mah not to be removed from that person, but that you have it as well. لا حسد إلا فثنتين. Of course, this hasad means اغتباط, and all those who have reported this tradition, they say that it means اغتباط. It means envy. Good, in good sense, not in bad sense. There are two things that you have the rightful attitude to feel. You have the right to feel envy about it. رَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا فَهُوَ يُنْفِقُ مِنْهُ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَآنَاءَ النَّهَارِ A person to whom Allah has given lots of wealth, but not stopping at that, but that person is spending that money in charity day and night. Well, who doesn't like to be like that person? Not just having lots of wealth, no. If there is a miserly wealthy, well, you wouldn't like to be like them, of course. What they want to do with their wealth. just accumulating things that you are going to be accountable for on the Day of Judgment. But someone who is given lots of wealth and he spends it day and night. فَهُوَ يُنْفِغُ مِنْهُ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَآنَاءَ النَّهَرِ وَرَجُلٌ. Now this is of course more important than the previous one. آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْقُرْآنِ. Someone who is given the knowledge of Quran, the memory of verses of the Quran, that knows those verses, and فَهُوَ يَقُومُ بِهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَآنَاءَ النَّهَرِ, and he acts according to that day and night. Of course, this is someone who maybe even the prophets would envy if someone is given this status, the knowledge of the Quran and acting according to that knowledge day and night. And Imam al-Sadiq said, of course, mu'min has iqtibat, but not hasad. Envies, but not feels jealous. Wouldn't like the ni'mas of others to be removed. المؤمن يغبط ولا يحسد والمنافق يحسد ولا يغبط. مؤمن feels a type of envy in their heart because it's ni'mah of Allah, they like to have it as well. But they never feel jealous. But munafiq, they always feel jealous. Not feeling, they are happy that that ni'mah is removed from them and not given to them. I mean, if you ask them, would you like that ni'mah to be with you as well as with that person? Or would you prefer that ni'mah to be removed from him and not given to you? They might say, no, let it be removed from them. We are more content in this way. This is hasad, of course. This is very burning type of hasad that a person might have, of course. So, what Amirul Mu'mineen mentions here is that you have to bear all these in mind. فَإِنْ رَأَى أَحَدُكُمْ لِأَخِيهِ غَفِيرَةً فِي أَهْلٍ أَوْ مَالٍ أَوْ نَفْسٍ فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ لَهُ فِتْنَةً. If one of you sees witnesses in their brothers, abundance in family, in property, in health, let that not be a trial for you. Just you thank Allah that Allah has given these to those. Well, you are His creature, they are His creature, He has given them to those, and He, of course, is not miserly. If this has not come to you, there is a reason, there is a hikmah behind it. فَإِنَّ الْمَرْءَ الْمُسْلِمِ. I mean, if we want to feel jealous about everything in this world, we should die the moment we are born. I mean, Why don't we feel jealous about the angels who are just very close to God? I mean, feeling jealous about these trivial things is silly, is ignorance, is lack of knowledge. I mean, you may feel jealous about Jibreel. Why Allah has given him that closeness and that intelligence and knowledge and not to us? Or, of course, as Quran mentions, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Do you feel jealous about what Allah has given to His Prophet and His household? Now, think what we gave to Ibrahim. You never can imagine, you never can achieve what we gave to Ibrahim. If you really know what we gave to Ibrahim and you are jealous, you will die. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إبراهيم أم يحسدون الناس على ما آتاهم الله من فضله. Well, I forgot the rest of the verse. Anyhow, he gave Ibrahim and his children حكم and نبوة and كتاب وجعلنا في ذريته النبوة والكتاب. All these things he gave to Ibrahim. لقد آتينا آل إبراهيم الكتاب والحكمة والحكمة وآتيناهم ملكا عظيما. We gave them great kingdom, آل إبراهيم. Now you want to feel jealous about them? And this is why in Surah An-Nisa Allah mentions, ولا تتمنوا ما فضل الله به بعضكم على بعض. بعضكم على بعض. Do not wish, do not desire things with which Allah has given to some of you and more than others. The fadl that he has given to some of you and has withheld from others. And this is what we have to, this is really the attitude that a mu'min should have. فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَ الْمُسْلِمْ مَا لَمْ يَغْشَ دَنَاءَةً تَظْهَرْ فَيَخْشَأُ لَهَا إِذَا ذُكَرَتْ. Okay, then there is a description that why we shouldn't feel jealous in this world, why we shouldn't be unhappy about what Allah gives. Other people, because this is a bit long, I will leave it for next week, inshallah. So next week we will continue with the same khutbah number 23. وَسَلَّلَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِهِ الطَّاهِرِ.
Thank you, Sheikh. Any brothers or sisters ready with either some comments or questions? Sisters? No? Brothers? Anyone?
Assalamu alaikum. I was a bit late and maybe you have answered this, so if I have then don't repeat it. You know, this question about risk is very perplexing in the sense that we keep thinking about it because it sort of preoccupies, if you see human nature, you know, whether it's in individuals or in society, it's like something that, so we're almost driven by it. You know, it seems to preoccupy us. And this whole idea that, you know, people are successful because they have made effort, either in education or in whatever, in societies and progress, this is very prevalent, right? It's prevalent across. And yet what you're saying seems to be kind of in contradiction to that, saying that it really is not in your hands. So, I mean, it's almost like you want a balance, but how do you find that balance?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
In this greedy world, these talks seem silly, isn't it? It looks as it doesn't make sense. But I think this is what we have to really, how we have to look at things. We know that the greed in this world has brought all the wars. The poverty of some people have come through the greed of other people. So if we look from a different window to this world, maybe things would become better. But certainly, since we live in a world in which most of the people are greedy, we tend to think like that because we are brought up like that. While you would see that the authorities of faith, prophets, Aimma alayhi wasalam, they all the time have swimmed against this current, have went against this type of attitude of the people. Well, you remember this word of Isa alayhi salam, once his disciples told him, "You don't have any house." Well, you know, Isa didn't have any house, of course. Our Prophet didn't have a house. It was just hujarat made of nothing. So they said, "You don't have a house. Shall we make a house for you?" And he took them to the seashore and told them, "Can you build me a house over these waves?" And they said, "This is not possible. How could we do that? Or what you want to do with the house over the waves?" He said, "This life is like that. It is very shaky. There's nothing that you could hope for in this world." So it's a completely different look at everything. Now, even with that attitude, you might become very wealthy. As Amirul Mu'minin mentions later on, that some people have that attitude and are very wealthy. And these are the people for whom Allah has somehow combined dunya and akhirah. But it wouldn't usually happen for many people.
Sorry. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
The risk that's predestined for us, yeah, during the course of a person's life, does that change based on the du'as and the lifestyle?
Yeah, of course. Every day it's somehow susceptible to change. Every Ramadan in Laylatul Qadr, it could be completely changed. So when we say predestined, we don't mean something which is completely not changeable. However, yes, there is something which could not be changed even by dua, and that is something which really, really benefits people, and Allah has keep it to be unchanged. Otherwise, when the knowledge comes to lower levels, then of course things could be changed with our dua. Even the lifespan would become longer with dua. The rizq may become more abundant. The knowledge may become more, and many, many different issues. Yeah.
Sisters, do you have anything?
Sheikh, could you just go over why is there any more significance to why Imam Ali is comparing the this divine order is like drops of rain and not sunshine or wind or anything else? Why this particular metaphor?
Well, we might say since drops of rain comes very palpably and attaches to things. Of course, sunshine is pervasive everywhere. You cannot see that how people are benefiting from it. I mean, individually. But drops of rain, since it's very, it could be sensed that it comes and falls on people, falls on things, and maybe he has used that metaphor for that reason. Yes.
Yeah, sisters, before we come to brothers.
You know, you mentioned jealousy and you mentioned envy, and I think you explained it quite well, and instinctively we know that it's easy to understand if it looks oneself. Now, the question that I want to ask is, if one feels within oneself that one has this nature or tendency towards jealousy, or is jealous and he cannot control it, what is the cure? How does one, I mean, it's fine to say, okay, this is the ni'mat of Allah, you believe in God and God has given it to him and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, it's easy logically to say, but you know, you're driven by emotion. You know, this whole jealousy is driven by this innate desire that you have within you, that you want something, and sometimes because you can't get it, you don't want others to have it. You know, that is what drives it on. And sometimes you see that in you. I mean, sometimes you see it constantly, sometimes you see it sporadically. What is the cure if you know that you've reached that stage? How do we save ourselves? Is there some way of, you know, you mentioned some signs, right? The three signs that I mentioned. So obviously you can look at other people and you can look at yourself with the same signs and see whether you have that or not, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how does, is there any advice?
Well, there are two aspects to this. One is that how you remove that feeling. That's something that you really have to work intellectually on it. I mean, you have to think about how you are created, how God distributes his bounties among people, that you are not the only one he has created. You are quite equal in his eyes with others, and things that, of course, they come after long ibadah, tahzeeb, purification of the soul. It's nothing that, no pill for it that you could remedy for yourself overnight. However, for just feeling that hasad, people are not punished. That is only a detriment to their movement towards God. And of course they have to somehow cure it. If someone feels hasad, what they really, really have to control is somehow putting that hasad in some practice. I mean, doing something practically that might be instrumental, or that person sees that as instrumental to removing that ni'mah from that person. I mean, you do a ghiba to somehow dishonor that person. This is of course something that might come out of hasad. If you don't do it, you are safe, although you feel jealous. But if you don't do ghiba, or if you don't practically do something to remove that, then that's fine, you are safe. And sometimes, you know, people do practice their jealousy to harm others. They benefit them, as it was the case of Iblis. And look how the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam benefited. Well, Yusuf benefited from their jealousy. If they did not feel jealous, Yusuf never went to Egypt, never became Aziz of Misr, never became in control of the Khazanul Arf, and all these things. It was their jealousy. Sometimes we feel jealous, we want to do something about the ni'mah of others. In a way, we increase their ni'mah. We benefit them rather than harming them. Yeah.
Sisters, before we come back to brothers here. Yes, sir, first.
On that point, if we just realize one thing, I feel, look at the ni'mah Allah has already given each one of us. We wake up in the morning in a warm house, we can turn on the tap, we get hot water. It's like kun fayakun. A king or Karun even would never have that. He would have to get his servants to do things for him. It would take him ages to travel somewhere where it would take us an hour or 15 minutes. So if we looked at it in absolute terms, the risk Allah has already given us is far more than many other people have had. And if we think like that, you never feel jealous for other people.
Yeah, that's a very good point, which all of us have to really pay attention to. Yeah.
Sheikh, I've just had one sort of thought that there seems to be a correlation between the jealousy and the relationship, what kind of relationship we have to the opposite person. Like, for example, we will not feel jealous if our children have achieved something, for example, or our close relatives. But with somebody who we don't have a good relation, and if he achieves something or gains something, then we may feel jealous. So in that two sort of examples, depends on what kind of relationship we have. That
now, usually those people who we see as part of ourselves, we don't feel jealous about them, because we see their progress as our own progress. But if there is someone whose progress is not seen as our own progress, usually we are somehow inclined to feel jealous towards them.
So, in short, if you were to build relationships like this with everybody, then perhaps
you never feel jealous. If you see other people's progress as your own progress, yes, of course you never feel jealous. Yeah. But who can do that?
Well, that is, I think you mentioned that the knowledge and the spiritual level and all that come into play then. Any sisters? Brothers? No? Mustafa?
Sheikh, just this about length of life. It's quite confusing. If you look at third world country, for Africa, the average is 60-70. Coming over here, the life has increased.
It's the length
same
of life.
People, they live longer.
Yeah.
So, what's happened?
Well, that's because of the, of course, the health services and nutrition and all these things. But don't think that these are not decreed by God. Yes, of course. These are something which, of course, God says, this is my sunnah, it works like that. You have good nutrition, you have good health, you have good health service, you live longer. But that is not prosperity, of course. Living longer is not prosperity. I mean, sometimes you look at people in the West who, I mean, they are so lonely, they have to live 30 years, 40 years of their lives completely alone with a dog or with a cat. I mean, what blessing is this? You might feel that it's a blessing that people live longer here in the West. But, I mean, if we think about it more carefully, it really might not be a blessing. It's good, of course, to live longer, to do more worship, more ibadah, but not, of course, to drink more beer. And, I mean, this is not a blessing. To live longer so you have more pints of beers and something like that.